Welcome you as the king, and they cried out, Hosanna to him. Hosanna in the highest, an Old Testament messianic title that was given to Jesus Christ because of the not only the quality of who he was, but because he was truly God in the flesh. I don't think that there is anything that has been more significant in my life than simply being gripped and contemplating the death and resurrection of Jesus. The crucifixion of Jesus is truly, I believe, one of the most gripping stories in all of the world. Have you ever really taken the time? Have you really taken the time to set apart this week? This is called the Passion Week of Christ. In other words, it's the week that Jesus Christ pours out all of his passion for you and for me, and ultimately for God the Father. He pours himself out as an offering on behalf of other people. And I don't think that you're going to be able to appreciate what we're doing this Friday night for our Good Friday service. I don't think you're going to be able to appreciate next Sunday morning. I don't think that you will probably be moved to reach out to your neighbors and carry a wonderful announcement on those door hangers. I love the line on there that says, somebody prayed for you today. Do you see the connection? Do you see the connection of walking in your neighborhood, praying for the people that are there on a regular basis, dropping a door hanger onto their door that says, I am praying for you, and I want you to hear the story of Jesus? I do not believe that you will be drawn to your neighbors, to your community, to praying for people, if in fact you are not engaging this story. Jesus Christ knew that. He met with a guy in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a famous leader in the church, in the Jewish synagogue, and in the Jewish church of that day. And Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ, and he had some questions for him because the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day wanted to know a little bit more about who this Jesus fellow was. I hope that you also want to know more about who this Jesus fellow was. And so they went to Jesus, the source of things, and Nicodemus comes to him at night under the hiding of night. In the book of John, nighttime is important. Whenever somebody comes at night or whenever an event happens at night in the entire book, it means that it's secret. It's something that belongs to the devil. It's a dark episode. And so John chapter 3 is a dark episode in the book. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he begins to ask him about who he is. And in John 3:3, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is puzzled. Nicodemus is thinking physically all the time. He's thinking, wait a minute, if a man is already born, how can he be born again? Does he have to return to his mother? That seems awkward. That seems like bad for women in the first place. Having a full-grown man, I don't get it. I don't understand is what he basically says to him. And he says, don't you get that you must be born again? Down in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Did you ever see your salvation coming? Did you ever perceive, oh, God is in pursuit of me. I should respond to Him. That's not the way it works, is it? God pursues us, comes out of nowhere, comes out of the rarest of circumstances, the oddest of moments, and He meets us in the middle of our need. The truth is the same for your neighbors. The truth is the same for your coworkers. The truth is the same for your children. The truth is the same for your spouse. It will not come when you expect it. It comes out of nowhere. It is like the wind. And what does Nicodemus, the religious leader of the day, say? Well, how could that be? Why? See, they had Jesus in a box. Or I'm sorry, they had God in a box. They predicted what God would do in every circumstance. They knew that by following the law, they were honoring God. God would be happy and they were good. They knew by following the rules that God had laid out for them that they were going to be okay with God. They ignored the fact that not all of them obeyed the rules. They ignored the fact that nobody could accomplish the law. They just tried really, really hard and they figured God would be happy with them. Isn't it true still to this day that that is how people live? I am not a bad person. I believe that if God is good, that he will allow me to go to heaven. Because I am not hateful, I am not mean, I am not angry, I'm basically honest. I mean, sure, I make mistakes, but God is God. He must understand these things. This is Nicodemus's response. Nicodemus's response is one that completely lacks a focus on God and is focused on the circumstance of this world. And it's why Jesus says to him just a couple of verses later, if I tell you physical things, if I tell you things that are true about the world, like the wind blows where it wants, and that's related to the Spirit, like God relates those two things. The wind in the Bible and the Spirit in the Bible are associated with each other because of their similarities. You can observe the wind in our world, and you are going to see spiritual truths about who the Holy Spirit is and what he is doing in the midst of the world. And he says, if I have told you, verse 12, these earthly things, and you cannot believe, you do not believe, you will not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one's been to heaven except the Son of Man. And just in the same way as Moses, and he refers to the Old Testament of Moses raising up the bronze serpent to where when people looked at the serpent, they were healed from the snake bites that they had suffered. Just in the same way that the serpent was held up in the desert, that's the same way that the Son of Man is going to be held up in the modern day. He will be held up on a cross. And if you look to Jesus, and if you trust in him, and if you believe not just in what he said, but in who he is, then the Bible says you will be born again. And Jesus breaks into probably one of the most popular verses in the Bible, but I'm going to read the whole section that it's from so that you can grip the fullness of what he's talking about to Nicodemus. He said, whoever believes in him may have eternal life, verse 15. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do you realize that Jesus Christ never sits down with Nicodemus and says, hey, let me straighten out your theology on this first. Hey, Nicodemus, some of the things you think about God, they're not right. And so let's straighten those out first. Let's clean you up a little bit, and then you'll be better prepared for God. When the woman caught in adultery comes to Jesus, does he sit down with her and say, hey, I've got a 12-step program for you so that you don't get caught in this stuff again? He says, go and sin no more. He appeals to the truth of living righteously and depending on God in her life. That is not meant to bag on 12-step programs, by the way. That is meant to say that when Jesus Christ grabs hold of a person, he grabs hold of them in the midst of their sin. He grabs hold of them in the midst of their brokenness. He grabs hold of them in the midst of their misunderstandings about him. Do you trust that the Spirit, as it blows like the wind, will straighten those things out in a person? Or do you feel that the sinner needs to probably decide to clean up their life first? Do you feel that the homosexual needs to not be a homosexual before they could possibly come to Christ? Do you believe that the drinker cannot be a drinker in order to come to Jesus Christ? What do you believe about the grace of God and the way that it interacts with the sin and the things that are around you? Because it will stop you cold if you do not believe with all of your heart that the gospel is for everyone, not just a select few. Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus, anyone who believes, anyone who trusts, anyone who places their life in Jesus and allows him to do what he's going to do, that person is going to be saved. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned. And he is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. What does he tell him? Believe and then let it work out. Believe, and you will come into the light. Believe and trust in Jesus, the Son of Man, the only one who truly was God in the flesh. Trust in Him, and you will have the relationship that you have so desired with God. God is not in some sort of tidy theological box for us. He is messy, is He not? You know what you heard today? You heard stories of messiness. I mean, granted, Cooper Hemmings, maybe not the messiest story, right? I know where you are, Coop, but I'm glad Coop, you know, didn't. I came out of a life of deep sin or something like that. No. Is that not our story? I sat with Mary in my office and she said, I can't think of a moment where I became a Christian. This has kind of happened progressively. Is that an okay testimony? Yes. You do realize nobody says, you know, on August 3rd, 20, I became a Christian in the Bible, right? You do know that. That whole obsession with a moment that you became a Christian, that's kind of a phenomena of our culture. I realize some of you know that day. The way that Paul knew on the road to Emmaus, he was blinded by God. God saved him right then, right there, right? The guy on the cross, he knew the day he was saved, right? But for most of us, that's not the way it works, is it? It's a process. It's gradual. You know who else that was true for? A guy named Nicodemus, who at the end of this book will be amongst the men that go to the political leaders of his day and ask for the body of Christ to be placed in the tomb. Nicodemus, the same Nicodemus that is right here, will put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ. It didn't happen. Do you realize this chapter ends in darkness? This chapter ends with Nicodemus walking away, just shaking his head. But these words are life. And they got inside of Nicodemus. And they ate away at the darkness. And they brought light to a place nobody would think of. When you think of reaching out to friends, do you think, I'm going to go find a rabbi and I'm going to talk to him? I'm going to go find a religious leader of a different faith. I'll go talk to him or her or them. That's not who you think, is it? Why? Because we are gripped with a culture that says we will not offend anybody. We will not say anything to the people that don't want to hear it. And I would say to you, please, please, please read chapter 3 and see it for what it really is. Read chapter 4 and see it for what it really is. Go to the very people that you think would not want that door hanger, would not want to talk to you, would not. You have no idea what the wind is doing. You have no idea what God is up to. God is at work in our midst. And we heard messy stories, stories of progress, stories. I loved how April said it. I have a past. I have a past that still comes back and haunts me. That's me too. That is me too. And there is only one answer for that, and it is Jesus. Whether you have got one person's past or another person's past, whether you are like the person that is caught in addiction, Jesus Christ will save you. He will change you. Will you trust in Him and let Him work it out? Trust in Him and let Him work it out. Jesus Christ seals this deal. He seals the deal of the light, of coming in love, of God sending His Son. He seals the deal in His death and His resurrection. And that passion of Jesus is poured out on this week from Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday. That's the week that we are in right now. And that is why, and I try to do this each year. We haven't always, but I try to give you the opportunity to walk through the week with in the same way that Scripture does. And so I've taken all of the Scriptures related to the different days of the week, and I am inviting you to follow along with this guide. We're not going to do all of this, much to your relief. We're not going to do all this, But I would offer up to you the very first point. Do you see the percentages right there? That is how much of each one of the gospel stories is written just about this one week. Do you know what that means? This is the most significant message that exists in the gospels, which are about the good news of Jesus Christ. This singular week that we're talking about, this is the most significant one in all of the New Testament. The week between Palm Sunday and Easter. The way that they walk through it. And so I'm inviting you to walk through it day by day. I've tried to add information and detail this year. I know some of you are like really geeky and you love that kind of stuff. And so I am feeding the geeks with some of this stuff. But I want to encourage you to engage. The easiest thing to do is to sit here right now and go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm gonna do it. Chris has asked us to do that before and I don't do it. And I'm gonna go for it. And you're going to put this back in your Bible, and your Bible's going to go to the same place it goes every week, and you're going to forget, and you're going to remember when? On Friday, when you get that little alarm on your iPhone that says, hey, you've got a Good Friday service to go to tonight. So I would do something different. I would appeal to you that if this hasn't stuck in the past, if it has, do the same thing. If it hasn't stuck in the past, do something different. Make sure that you put this in a place that you will not forget it. Make sure that we, as a community, walk through with Jesus the fullness of this week, because I believe that if you could appreciate all that Jesus has done on your behalf, you know what? Putting a door hanger on somebody's door is going to feel really natural. Saying to somebody that you've been praying for them is going to make perfect sense, because you will experience what God has done for you. And you will be filled with that experience. Filled with that experience the same way that Jesus Christ was. To when a religious leader of the Jews came to him, he was able just to drop down on him and go, you won't believe anything I have to say. Why should I tell you about spiritual things? And Nicodemus just sat there and said, I'm lost. I don't understand. And Jesus Christ gives him the answers to the deepest questions in his soul. Do you believe that he's still doing that? Do you believe that he's doing it with you? Followers of God, are you living out your baptism? Baptism means that we have died to the old, and that with Jesus Christ, we are raised to the new. The water is representative of the salvation that we experience in Jesus Christ. You go down as one who is a sinner. You come up as one who is saved. It's representative. It doesn't mean that the water saves. It just means that this is a representation of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Many of you in this room have been baptized. Do you believe that you have been transformed and changed? Then could I invite you to walk with Jesus this week? Could I invite you to live out your baptism? Baptism means what Jesus Christ is talking about here to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It means all things are changed. It means you are born again. I've told you before, two of the most wonderful moments of my life were the opportunity to be in the delivery room when my children were born. I don't think there's anything that is more gripping, that I can remember more emotional to me, than when a nurse or a doctor, I got to do some carving up of umbilical cords and that kind of thing, but when they hand you that baby, as a father, you know, we don't, praise God, we don't carry the baby and stuff, and all the men silently say amen. We don't carry that baby inside of us. And so the bonding process for dads is a little different than it is for moms. Mom's got that baby all the time. They're talking to them. They're just kind of engaged emotionally in the whole thing. And dads kind of walk by their wives and are like, oh, you're pregnant. Oh, wow, that's mine. You know, that kind of thing. And so when they hand us that kid, it's overwhelming to our senses. It's overwhelming to our souls. And it changes everything about us.
forever, for the rest of my days, I am connected to my children. I will always be, no matter where they're at, I'm connected to them. I feel them out there somewhere. I know it's like a heartstring that is connected to my kids. And God says that if you trust Him, you are adopted into His family. And His heartstrings, they're attached to you. He feels you no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. He is intimately connected to you because you are His child. He loves you. And He's calling on you as His child to live out your divine purpose. Don't pretend, Christian, that you are not a child of the King. Walk with Jesus this week to His cross. Feel His passion. His passion for His Father and His passion for us. And re-engage what it means to live out that transformed life. Allow your life to once again walk through the waters of baptism and to be raised up new, changed, transformed, to where when you come in here next Sunday, when you walk into this place next week, you have not walked in not thinking about God all week long, but you have walked into this place prepared and ready to celebrate the resurrection story of Jesus Christ. The gospel is going to be shared with as much clarity as this bald head can generate next Sunday morning. All right? I'm going to try to not be overly wordy. I'm going to try to be straightforward. We're going to share the gospel. I am prayerful. I am prayerful that you will be here. And I am prayerful that you will bring your friends, that you will bring your neighbors, that you will bring everyone, highways, byways, all of them, to hear about how much Jesus Christ loves them. But my heart is that you would experience that this week, and that you would not invite them as a gimmick, but that you would invite them because Jesus would want His people to do such a thing. God, thank you. Worship team, come on up. God, thank you. Thank you that you left Nicodemus hanging. Thank you that the first story you share about reaching out in the name of your Father doesn't end in some sort of triumph. It ends with Nicodemus just walking out the door. Thank you, God, that you give us examples, practical, everyday examples of what it means to walk with you, to talk with you, to experience the passion of your Son, Jesus. God, I thank you that you are good, that you have transformed the lives of each one that we saw baptized today. God, I pray for Kathy, for Cooper, for Mary, and for April. God, we lift them up to you as a body, and we pray that, God, their baptism today would be a bold public statement in their lives of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, that they have died with you and that they are resurrected with you and that they will stand with you in glory. We thank you for this example in our midst, and we pray, God, those of us that have been baptized before, God, we pray that we would live it out and walk with you day by day. Fill our hearts with your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand together.